Boy. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope Community Church. We're glad you're here this morning. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for, just about forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you. That is our hope. That is our faith. That's what we believe, is that the risen Lord Jesus Christ is here with us, that when we gather together to worship Him, to center our hearts and our thoughts on Him, to express praise to Him in song, to express our need to Him in prayer, to listen to Him, to meet Him at His table, we believe that He is here to meet with us. And so, can we bow our heads for a moment? Can we pray before we start? God, we do believe that You have invited us here today. You know that we've been in all sorts of different places this past week. Each of us have a different story. Some of us are coming off a really great week, and everything has gone wonderfully, and we are just full of praise and thanks to You for the blessings You've poured into our lives. Some of us, God, feel like we're on the exact opposite end of things, and we're coming in here feeling beat down and exhausted and worn out and worried, and we need You, God, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to remind us that You haven't forgotten us, to shower us with Your love. God, today I pray that by the presence of Your Holy Spirit, You would speak to us, that You would meet us where we are, that You would help us to give You thanks, that You would help us to cry out to You in our need, and that we would find in You grace and strength and courage and hope and joy and peace. God, you truly are a God who down through the generations have shown Yourself faithful in Your love for Your people. We've been reading about it all year long, the ways that You have come to Your people, have come to humanity to call us back from our sin, to forgive us, to heal us, to rescue us, to strengthen us, to continue to faithfully love us through the ups and downs of life. God, thank You that today we can have confidence in Your love. You have shown it to us so clearly in Jesus Christ. So it's in His name that we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, if you're interested, let's stand. Let's sing to the God who's invited us here.
Morning. I'd like to start off with a new song. At least it was new to me this week. But I think it fits really well with what we've been reading. It's full of all this great Old Testament imagery. Let's praise the Lord together. Just jump on in when you pick it up.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of His servant Moses.
Would you bow your heads with me? God, we do humble ourselves before You today in acknowledgement of Your majesty, of Your glory, and of Your love, God. When we think of the ways that we have sinned against You, the ways that we have not lived up to Your dreams for us when You created us, God, You've given us so much, and so many of us, God, we can think of ways that we've just kind of squandered Your gifts, and we've wandered away from the path that You had set for us. And God, when we think of these things, it amazes us that You would look at us in all of our failure and all of our sin, and that You would look at us not with eyes of anger, but with eyes of love, of compassion. That You would reach out to us and heal. That You would reach out to us and forgive. That You would reach out to us and grab a hold of us and embrace us and draw us close. God, thank You. Thank You for Your faithful love. Thank You for being a God who forgives sins, who heals wounds, a God who raises the dead. Thank You that today You speak hope into our lives, that you remind us of Your love. You remind us of Your power and Your presence with us. You remind us that You have not lost track of us, that wherever we go, you are there. Thank you, God, for inviting us to gather together today to be reminded of your great love for us. Meet us here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand, wish them a good morning, say peace of the Lord. Okay. I hope everybody got one of these when you came in. A little welcome brochure, welcome bulletin, whatever kind of a thing here. I think I mentioned last week, I'd much rather this, the difficulty settling you down, than the opposite. So I'm glad that you guys enjoy each other and catching up and all of the rest. That's a good, good thing. So yeah, if you got one of these inside, there's the little green welcome card that you can fill out. Let us know how we can be praying for you or things that are going on in your life that we'd be happy to join you in thanking God for the good things and asking for God's help for the rough things and there's one thing I just heard about this morning that would love for you to be praying about this week. It's not in your bulletin because it just happened yesterday. I got a call this morning from Mary Jo Berkey. Many of you guys know Merlin and Mary Jo. Some of you have met Merlin's son Mark, who's been here with his wife Amanda, and another one of Merlin's sons, Mike, just passed away yesterday. Had a heart attack, and they were at the hospital, and they were tried for a while and weren't able to. He had several health conditions that for a while he'd been suffering from, but then just yesterday passed away. So be good for you to be praying for Merlin and his family as they grieve the loss of Merlin's son. And and I'm sure that will appear in next week's bulletin to remind you, but right now you might want to write that on there so that you don't forget. This week you can be praying for Merlin and for his clan. In fact, can we just bow our heads for a moment and pray for them? And God, we thank you that you are a God who cares for us in the midst of our need. And we pray, God, that you would be with Merlin and his family as they mourn the loss of his son, Mike. We pray that you would comfort them in their grief and do what only you can, God, as you reach into the human heart to bring solace and comfort and peace in the midst of these times. So thank you, God, for being a God of comfort, a God of love. God, you know that's only one of hundreds of needs that are represented just here in this room. So God, as we lift those things up to you, as we lift up to you the need of our hearts, the cries of our hearts, God, we thank you that you're a God who not only cares, but you have the ability to do something about it. Thank you, God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. And I appreciate, and I know they will appreciate your continued prayers for them and their family this week. There are different things you can read about there in the bulletin, including our 11th anniversary coming up in just a few weeks. I've been trying to highlight some of the different ministry things that go on around here. Some of them you don't really see too much of, like I mentioned the preschool thing and the nursery thing and some of the other things that go on kind of behind the scenes. But today, I wanted to highlight something that most of you are very aware of because while we were all shaking hands, about half of you went out and helped yourself to something from the breakfast table out there. And I don't know if you know who makes that happen. There are how many groups are there? There's like six or seven different groups of people that take turns, and they are often the Sunday that they're on, they're often the first volunteers here, setting up and getting things out and getting things ready, and that's after they've already gone out and purchased stuff and all that. And they're often the last ones to leave as they clean up after all of us and all the messes that you leave for them on the breakfast table. But anyway, once every 5-6 weeks, something like that. They take their turn, and they help provide an environment for us that is welcoming, that says to our guests, hey, it's okay, relax, grab a cup of coffee, it's okay, you're safe here. You know, they help us to welcome each other and to welcome friends to worship with us. And so I just wanted to, I guess, highlight them and cheer for them this week and thank them for their work that they do. So I don't know, today, any Sunday that you're here, when you're up there grabbing something and you see that person back there setting something else out or bringing out another coffee, I think you already do this, but just a reminder to say thanks and to thank them for their service and to thank them for what they do. And of course, if that's something you want to get involved with, you can. So that's another one of those things you can write on your welcome card and let us know about if you're interested in that sort of thing. Okay. As Scott mentioned earlier, we have been reading through Ezekiel, and we kind of got started with it last week's message. We just actually finished his book a couple days ago, and if we've been on this experiment, this trek through the Bible this year, and if you'd like to join us, there are some reading plans out there. We've got some more Daily Walk Bibles on the way that you can follow through. We're going to hit the New Testament soon. And October 1st, we finally get to Jesus and to his story. But as we've been reading through the prophets, it reminds me of something I mentioned just, I guess, a few minutes ago, that God does seem to have an excellent way of meeting us where we are. And when the people of Israel were stuck in sin, God sends these prophets to challenge them and to make them aware of their sin and to call them to repentance, to call them to turn from sin, to turn toward God, to find forgiveness and healing and salvation. When they are threatened by their enemies, God says, look, you can turn to me and I'll rescue you. But if you keep turning to these other gods, then I'm not going to step in. I'm gonna let those other gods take care of you if those are the ones you're turning to. And we've seen that through Isaiah and Jeremiah and now Ezekiel, as God sends these messages to the people of Israel as the Babylonians are threatening to take over, to conquer them. And then, when that's happened, when the Babylonians have come and have conquered and have taken over and have hauled people away and have destroyed Jerusalem and have demolished the temple and have hauled people off into exile hundreds of miles from their homes, then God, through the prophets, speaks words of comfort, words of hope, words of healing, reminds them that he hasn't forgotten about them, that in spite of the fact that they've been punished for their sins, in spite of the fact that now they're reaping the consequences of the actions and then the way they dismissed God and turned to others, that God has not rejected them, that God is still reaching out to them in love, and that God can, in fact, restore them. And that's what we get to this week. It's probably Ezekiel's most famous image that he uses. We mentioned last week that Ezekiel kind of goes a lot farther than a lot of the other prophets. While Isaiah and Jeremiah might talk about Israel as an unfaithful spouse and not being faithful to God, Ezekiel takes that image way past that and talks about prostitution in Israel and Judah just chasing after these other lovers and uses some pretty graphic imagery in doing that. Just in Ezekiel 36, the chapter right before the one we're looking at today, he's just been using imagery of menstrual cloth to talk about the filthiness of sin. And I mean, he just doesn't hold back. He just goes ahead and takes it to an extreme. He takes whatever's going on and he just lays it right out there. And the image we have today is definitely one of those. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to read it. I've got it there in your notes, the first 14 verses. Or you can follow along in your Bible if you'd like to. But I'm just going to read this. And then, actually, last week we practiced a little exchange, word of the Lord, thanks be to God thing. We're going to try that again, all right? So after I read from Ezekiel 37, she'll pop the little thing up there and we'll give it a shot, okay? All right. Ezekiel 37. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord. Yeah, this is a message to give thanks for, because here he is speaking to the people of Israel saying, look, there's hope. You may feel like there is no hope. You may feel like you're beyond hope, beyond salvation, beyond restoration, beyond life. You feel like you're old, dry bones, but all hope is not gone. I am the Lord. I have spoken. You will live again. Now, I'm just to go back to this experience that Ezekiel has. I don't know if you remember, but in one of these moments when Ezekiel talked about the Lord taking hold of him and taking him somewhere, he describes God grabbing him by the hair and taking him somewhere. So this is the picture I have as I read this story. I picture, when he says, the Lord took hold of me, again, I picture God reaching and grabbing Ezekiel by the hair and lifting him up and setting him in this valley full of bones. Now, this valley might have been one that he's been put in a valley before. It might be the one he was in earlier. It may be that this is a valley that the people of Israel had been taken through on their way out to exile. And these bones that he's seeing all around him, these could be the fallen soldiers from the battle that took place as the Babylonian armies came through and demolished the people of Israel and blasted through their forces and eventually hauled everyone alive away into exile. Here the army had been defeated and their bodies hadn't even been buried. They had just laid on the ground, and now it's years later, and there aren't bodies lying on the ground anymore. All that's left is old, dried up bones. It's a horrible image, isn't it? I mean, have you ever seen old, dried up bones? I mean, most of the bones that we see are I guess, wet bones, you know? I mean, so we just ate at Big Daddy's barbecue. Was that yesterday that we ate over there? Yeah, last night we ate at Big Daddy's barbecue. Stacy got the ribs. She likes the ribs there. And, you know, you're eating those ribs and, you know, they're not dried out bones. They're still wet. You know, my dad is sitting here, and I know he'll go to the butcher and get bones for their chocolate lab, Coco. And the reason Coco loves chewing on those bones is because they're still wet. They're still a little juicy. You know, there's still some stuff in there that she chews on them, and a little of that stuff comes out. They're not old, dried up, dried out bones. There's still a little bit of stuff to them. That's kind of gross, I know, but you know, the image here is, boy, these guys are way beyond recovery. You know, these bones are just way far gone. There's no bringing these bodies back to life. I mean, they're not even bodies anymore. They've decomposed the place. All that's left is old, dried out bones. It reminds me, when we first moved to town, the house that we lived in here in Valpo had a crawl space underneath part of the house, and it was the kind that you have to really bend down to walk through, and it had the dirt floor with plastic on it, and so we almost never went down there. But the furnace was down there, and we stored our Christmas stuff down there, and at some point I had to go back in there and back around the other side of the furnace. Maybe I had to change a filter or something, and there I found the remains of a mouse. And I only know it was a mouse because I remembered when I saw this that I was like, oh, yeah, we had mouse problems back whenever I'd set out traps and all that. And I'd totally forgotten. I'd put a trap down here. And now all that was left was there was a trap and there's a little pile of bones, you know. And it had been long enough that this mouse was just totally, there was nothing left of this mouse other than these little bones. And this is just gross, isn't it? I'm sorry, but but this is the image that Ezekiel, this is the experience Ezekiel has. God grabs him by the hair, sits him in a valley full of bones, old, dried out bones, and says, what do you think, son of man? Can these bones live again? And Ezekiel looks around, and now it's interesting to me that Ezekiel doesn't just say, no, you know, good grief, God, what are you talking about? No, they're bones. You can't, what are you going to do? What he says is, O sovereign Lord, You know, again, acknowledging God, you're sovereign, you're in charge, you're the king. Only you know the answer to that. You alone know. I have no idea. I'm not going to try to answer. You know. And God says, okay, I've got a message for these bones. Speak the message I'm giving you. Tell these bones they're going to live again, that I'm going to put breath in them, that they're going to come back to life. And Ezekiel probably looks and thinks, you say so. That's kind of what I hear when he says, so I spoke this message, just as he told me. It's like, it didn't make sense to me, but okay. So he speaks the message, and sure enough, the bones start rattling, and they start moving across the floor and finding each other. And, you know, some guy that got his arm chopped off over there and then died over here, his arm bone is like moving across the floor and finding the rest of his skeleton and coming together. And pretty soon he sees all these skeletons lying on the ground. And then he sees they start to, I don't know how this would be really cool effect, somebody do this with CGI today or something. You know, all of a sudden there's like, there's meat on the bones and there's muscles and there's sinews and there's stuff attached. And I should have asked if Scott could have let us in that Dem Bones song, you know, the foot bones connected to the ankle bone and all the rest. I mean, that comes from this passage, actually. You know, that's why the chorus is, right now hear the word of the Lord. You know, this is Ezekiel, and the bones are coming together, and they're getting meat on them, and then they're getting skin on them until finally he's standing in a valley full of dead bodies, basically, because there's no breath still in them. So you can kind of picture now, instead of it being a valley full of old, dried out, bleached bones, he's in a valley full of dead people. It's like the army all fell and just is still lying there. And then God says, okay, talk to the winds, tell them to come, and put breath in these bodies. Now, this is something that we don't get to see as much in English because we've got all these different words, spirit, wind, breath. We use different words for this. These are all the same word in Hebrew. It's ruach. You want to try that one? Ruach. Say that one with me. Ruach. Yeah, it's got that little sound at the end, you know, like you're clearing your throat. Ruach. But anyway, it's just the Hebrew word that gets translated as wind, as spirit, as breath. There's a similar word in Greek in the New Testament. The New Testament was written in pneuma. That's also used in those kinds of ways. Basically, both of these words are just talking about like moving air, you know. And so whether it's the breath coming in and out of your lungs, whether it's the wind blowing through the trees, whether it's the Spirit of God moving where it will, this word gets used in all these different ways. And so here it is, the Spirit of the Lord that grabbed hold of Ezekiel has put him in this place, is saying, now speak to the winds, speak to the rock, and call it in, and it's going to tell it to fill these bodies. And sure enough, the breath fills them. And I wonder if Ezekiel, as he's seeing this, is thinking, man, this is just like Genesis. This is just like the beginning when, if you remember, you read that God forms a little man out of the dust, and then he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. It's like he makes a little man and then, you know, does the CPR thing on him. I picture God pinching his nose and blowing into him, you know, and here comes breath. You know, it's like Ezekiel is seeing this happen in front of his eyes. And the wind blows in and the breath enters the bodies, and they all get up a mighty army. Perhaps the army that had fallen in battle, you know, now is standing in front of him. And God explains it. God says what this is about. You know, Christians down through the ages of, you know, as Christians, we were believers in the resurrection because that's kind of the cornerstone of our faith, that Jesus died on the cross, was put in a tomb, and on the third day rose again. You know, that he's this promise of life to come. And that just as he was made alive, so also we will be made alive one day if we're in him, if we're united with him, if we trust in him. And so Christians down through the years have looked back and said, ah, yes, here's evidence of early belief in resurrection. But God just explains it a lot simpler. He just says, look, I'm giving you an image of what I'm going to do for the people. The people of Israel feel like they are beyond hope. They say, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. It's like saying, there's no life left in us. Our nation is finished. He said, we're beyond recovery. This isn't just going to be tough. This isn't just, yeah, this is going to be hard, but we'll get through it. He said, this is impossible. There is no hope for us. It is over. It's done. And God says, this is how they feel. This is the situation that they're in. Now I need you to take my message to them and let them know, oh, my people, I'm going to bring you back to life again. I'll open your graves of exile and bring you back to your own country. You'll rise again. I'll bring you back to this land. I'll put my spirit in you, my breath in you, my life in you. And you'll live again and return home to your own land. Then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken, that I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is so impossible. The only way this is going to happen is if God does it. Have you ever faced a situation like that? I'm kind of wondering. I mean, this is, as I'm sitting here thinking about this story, and what do we do with this, you know? Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like this is so beyond hope? They're like, okay, this situation is dead. This relationship is dead. There is no recovery for this relationship. This job is dead. There is no hope of restoration. There is no hope. Have you ever been in a situation where you just felt beyond hope? Maybe a loved one that has wandered so far off. You're beyond thinking this is going to be hard, but we'll get there. And you've gotten to the place where you just think, it's hopeless. I mean, here's God speaking to a people who are beyond hope, and he says, look, I'm not done yet. I am the Lord, and if I want to raise the dead, I can. If I want to restore a relationship, I can. If I want to get you out of your situation, I can. If I want to restore you, if I want to forgive you, if I want to heal you, I can. It can be done. And you'll know that I did it, because you sure didn't. It's impossible for you. You didn't get yourself out of this mess. You know, if you've been reading along, we just finished Ezekiel. We just got into Daniel. And Daniel and his friends are among those early exiles out to Babylon. And I think it was yesterday when we read the story about his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that get thrown into the fiery furnace because they refuse to bow down to the idol. It's a hopeless situation. You know, they don't have fire retardant suits. You know, they're not stuntmen that can just, you know, run around in the fire and be okay. I mean, they're getting thrown into the furnace to be burned up. And they say to the king, like, hey, God can do whatever God wants. We're going to obey him, even if it means you kill. If it means you kill us, all right, you kill us. But God's able to save us even through this if he wants to. And so the king's like, whatever, boom, you know, into the furnace. And sure enough, God saves their lives and is with them there in the fire. Sometimes we kind of need to, sometimes I think we need to acknowledge that our situation really is as bad as it is. Sometimes I feel like I don't know if we're trying to cheer ourselves up, if we're trying to help ourselves not despair, and we kind of tell ourselves, oh, we can do it. I can do this. I can make it through this. And we just kind of tell ourselves it's not really as bad as it is. But the Bible is pretty clear. Sometimes it is just death is the only imagery that will work. I got to admit, this is a goofy little movie, but it's one of my favorites. And when I'm thinking about people not owning up to the situation and the severity of it, I couldn't help but think of this scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where King Arthur comes across the Black Knight. And, let's go ahead and watch it. I went ahead and grabbed it. I couldn't help myself. Sometimes the situation, we're just not owning up to the truth, and we're telling ourselves it's not as bad as it really is, but sometimes it really is bad. Sometimes if we are honest, we look around, it's like, okay, this is beyond hope. We have lost the fight. This is not going to work. We are not going to be able to get ourselves through this. And here's a God who says, look, it's a God who says, if you'll confess your sins to me, I'll forgive you. If you'll come to me for help, I'll help you. But, you know, I like to say that, you know, we can live honest, authentic lives here. You know, we don't have to wear any masks with each other. You know, that's what the Christian life is about, is being honest with God, honest with each other. And sometimes if we're honest, we need to say, look, I really am beyond hope. I don't see any way out of this. I don't see any way forward here. And we need to admit that to God. And maybe to each other, and find some help. Now, Ezekiel 37 doesn't stand on its own. This is in the midst of this passage where God is saying he'll restore people. And so part of what Scott read earlier, I put there on the back of your notes from Ezekiel chapter 36, where God says to his people, then I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you'll no longer worship idols. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I'll put my spirit in you so that you'll follow my decrees. Be careful to obey my regulations. He's saying, look, I'm going to transform your life. I'm going to do heart surgery. I'm going to bring you back from death, put my spirit in you, and you could have a new life. Now, beyond just, there's kind of in my head, there's kind of two connections from this story with our lives. One is just when we're in a situation that seems hopeless, that we need to be honest about that, turn to God, and that he can help us. He can walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He can bring life where there was death. He can bring hope where there was nothing but hopelessness. But the other place where this touches our lives is just in our own relationship with God, that we need to be honest and understand that this is not because of anything we've done, that we don't earn our relationship with God in any way. The Bible describes us as being dead in our sins. In fact, that's what I included there from Ephesians chapter 2. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. I should have included that little verse from earlier in Ezekiel 36 that Scott read, where God's clear a couple times in that chapter. He says, look, this isn't because you deserve it. I'm not looking at you and saying, oh yeah, you deserve to be forgiven. You deserve to be restored. Like, no, because you don't. You know, but I'm God, and I'm committed to you, and I love you, and I'm going to restore you. Because of my own holiness, because of who I am, I will come and I will restore you. I'll forgive you. That's why it continues in Ephesians chapter 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It's like God sees us in our sin and we are just dead. We have no spiritual life in us. We've turned our back on God, the source of our life. We've tried to do it on our own. And we find ourselves, we're no better than a pile of dead bones, dried out, lying on the ground. We have no life in us. And God grabs a hold of us and creates us anew in Christ Jesus. He pulls us back together. He gives us life. He puts his spirit in us. And he renews us and restores us. He gives us life as we're united with Christ. As he raises Christ from the dead, we receive new life. Jesus did some of this with his disciples. I saw a picture of this in John chapter 20. Peter and James and John and the others who had followed him around during his life and ministry, and then they had seen him die on this cross, and at the moment of challenge when he was arrested, they fled, they ran away, they abandoned him. Peter has denied even knowing him. And now Jesus is in the tomb. They've heard stories that Jesus has risen, and they're still kind of hiding out. They're afraid. That's what it says here in John 20, what I put in your notes. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. He's like proving to them, look, God's bigger than this. God's bigger than crucifixion, than death. You don't have any reason to be afraid. So they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Again, there's this picture of breath, of spirit, of wind. He says, it's what was promised in Ezekiel is happening for us today in Jesus Christ, that God is putting his spirit in us. He's breathing new life into us. He's taking what was a dirty, rotten sinner, dead in our sins, in our disobedience, and he's lifting us up. He's making us alive. He is renewing us from the inside out. He's giving us his own spirit so that we can be new, taking out our hard heart that doesn't want to listen to God and giving us a soft heart that's going to be responsive. He's putting his spirit in us so that we will obey him, so that we'll follow him. It's a beautiful thing, and we can't take credit for it. I mean, sometimes, again, this black knight who's thinking, oh, it's just a flesh wound. You know, it's not that bad. Sometimes I think we look at our sins and we think, oh, it's not that bad. You know, we look at our situation, we think, you know what, I know I need God, but, you know, it's not like I'm dead and I need new life. I just need God to kind of shave off some rough edges. I just need God to kind of help me be a little bit better than I am. I'm here, and I need God to get me here, you know. Oh, the Bible says, look, you're down here. You know, we're each and every one of us, we're dead in our sins, and God gives us life. That's why, like last week, we were talking about how Christians get this bad name among folks outside the church as they think we look down our noses at them and judge them and all that, because sometimes we do, and we really shouldn't, because if we're going to be honest, we have all sinned, we've all fallen short, we've all been dead in our sins, and God has raised us up. Every single one of us depend on the Spirit of God filling us, give us new life, to give us hope. And as he does this, He does give us hope for the situations that we face. He does. I went ahead and gave you more of Ezekiel chapter 36 there, where it says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. When I cleanse you from your sins, I will repopulate your cities, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The fields that used to lie empty and desolate in plain view of everyone will again be farmed. And when I bring you back, people will say, this former wasteland is now like the Garden of Eden. It's like it used to be a wasteland, now it's beautiful, it's rich, it's full of life. The abandoned and ruined cities now have strong walls and are filled with people. Then the surrounding nations that survive will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruins and replanted the wasteland, for I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I say. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm ready to hear Israel's prayers and to increase their numbers like a flock. They will be as numerous as the sacred flocks that fill Jerusalem's streets at the times of her festivals. The ruined cities will be crowded with people once more, and everyone will know that I am the Lord. God says, I will restore. I will forgive. I will bring you back. And people who have looked and said, you know, this was a wasteland, will say, boy, this is like the Garden of Eden. This is the same thing for us, you know. I mean, where the people around us who see our lives, who see the way that we are, you might think you put on a brave face, but people see through that. We see through the mask that each other wear. When God gets a hold of you and brings you back to life and puts his spirit in you and is renewing you from the inside out, people will look at your life and say, wow, this guy used to be, you know, angry all the time. And now he seems like he's full of joy. You know, this guy used to be bitter, and now I just saw him forgive that guy. He didn't hold a grudge for 30 seconds. He turned around and forgave him right away. This guy used to be so stingy, and look, we see him now. He's being so generous with his time, with his resources. You know, God really does transform us and change us. Things that were dead in us become alive. And God begins to transform us, to grow. Well, the New Testament talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He begins to grow new fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He begins to transform our lives. Things that were dead in us, part of our humanity that had withered and died, God brings to life. It's a beautiful picture that we have in Scripture of what God's Spirit is able to do with a human being as we trust in him. So I'm curious today. Maybe you need to grab a pencil and write something down on your notes or on a welcome card or something. You know, what is your hopeless situation? What is there in your life that you're thinking, you know what, this is? It's like a graveyard. It's dead and it's beyond hope. Is there something like that for you right now? Where that's how you feel? Like there's no way this relationship can be restored. There's no way I would ever forgive that person. There's no way that I could ever go back to this or that or whatever it is. Is there something that just seems beyond hope? Some dream that God put in your heart a long time ago that has just died and you've given up on? What is there for you that you need to place before God today and say, okay, God, as far as it looks to me, these bones can't live again. But sovereign Lord, only you know. Only you know what's possible here. And we give that to God. Or maybe today you need to reflect and to think back and to remember your own journey from death to life as you trust in Jesus Christ, and you need to remember the transformation that he's worked in you and that he is still working in you. I know last week I invited you, if you wanted to share a story at our anniversary, of how God is transforming your life and of the change that's happened. Maybe you don't feel like you've got something as dramatic as I was dead and now I'm alive. But maybe you do. Maybe you've got some, you can look at your life and you can say, you know what, that's true. That part of me had died, and God has made it alive again. I didn't have any hope here, and now I have hope again. Maybe you want to share that. Right now, I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes and just talk to this God who raises the dead and who has done this in his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. God, we thank you. We thank you for being a God who raises the dead. Thank you for grabbing Ezekiel by the hair and putting him in that valley of dry bones. Thank you for showing him this picture of resurrection, this picture of moving from hopelessness to hope. That when your spirit moves in, there is life. God, some of us today, there are still parts of us, parts of our lives that when we look at them, we have to be honest and say, yeah, that's pretty much died. I have given up hope for that. God, would you speak to us by your Spirit and give us hope? God, whatever that might be in our lives today, would you give us hope? Would you let us know that there is a future that you have for us? That you do have plans for us, that you've not given up on us. And God, would you remind us today that you are able to forgive sin, that you are able to restore, that you are able to revive, that you are able to take what was dead in us and make it alive. For some of us, God, that was a long time ago that that first happened for us and we first experienced that life and that breath of your Holy Spirit flowing into us. For some of us, God, that is something that we still hunger for today. So God, we submit ourselves to you. And we trust in you. God, we confess our sins to you. We acknowledge them to you. We acknowledge the death that sin has brought into our lives. And we welcome your forgiveness. God, you have made very clear that when we confess our sins to you, you are faithful, you are just, you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like you promised to Israel, you will sprinkle clean water on us and we will be clean. You will take our stony, hard, unresponsive heart and you will give us a soft, responsive heart that responds to your Spirit. You will put your Spirit in us so that we will follow you. God, fill us with your Spirit today that we might trust and follow you. You've made this possible for us today, God, because of Jesus Christ. He took our sin on himself, and he died on that cross as our sacrificial lamb so that our sin could be atoned for, so that we no longer have to carry our sin around and the guilt and the shame of it. He died on that cross, and God, you raised him from death so that we today can experience new life. Thank you, God. Please breathe your Spirit of new life into us today as we trust in Christ, as we trust in you. In just a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion together. We're going to gather around your table, and we're going to take bread and dip it in juice, and we're going to remember Christ's death on our behalf. Jesus, when you gathered with your disciples that night that you were betrayed and handed over to those who would crucify you, you took bread and you said, "This is my body broken for you. When you eat this, remember me." You took the cup and you said, "This is the blood of the new covenant given for you. When you drink this, remember me." And so God, today, we do remember. We remember the price that was paid for our salvation. We remember that you raised Christ from death so that we can have new life. God, today, I pray that you would meet us here, that your Spirit would come, that you would fill us with your breath, with your wind, with your Spirit, with your life. Thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness to do this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come and lead us in a song, and as they do, we're going to celebrate communion together. I'm going to be up here with a basket of bread and a cup with grape juice. And today, if you're saying yes to him, if today you're giving him thanks for the new life that you've experienced, or if today you're saying, "God, please, I need this new life." Maybe today as you come forward, you're still crying out saying, "God, you know I am beyond hope. Only you know what can be done in this situation." And perhaps as you come forward today, this is your expression of trust and of faith in Him, of crying out for His help. He has promised to meet us here. He has promised to pour out His Spirit on us today. So let's come in faith. You're invited to come, take bread from the basket, dip it in juice, and eat it. If you're saying yes to Jesus Christ, you are welcome to participate. Let's celebrate today. God, thank You for sharing the life of Christ with us today. We pray that You will fill us with Your Spirit, make us alive, so that we can live the life You created us to live, so that we can love those around us, so that we can be an example of Your great grace and what You can do in a human life, so that people around us can see a difference because of You. Thank You, God. We pray all of this with confidence in You, of Your presence and of Your power that's available to help us this week. Thank You, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, before we go, there's just one little word of blessing I wanted to share with you. I put it at the bottom of your notes from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.